And I was just thrilled with the singing. It's just good to hear you all share again. And it's just been something that I've really enjoyed. I was, just before I get into the message, I was struck by, I want all the preschool and the primary children to stand up. And then wave your hand, raise your hand really high, okay? Preschool and primary. How many do we have? One, two, three, real high. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Wow, I just was amazed when I saw them go out. I thought, wow, there's a lot of little guys there that are going out, and I know that there's more behind them, so that's good. Great to have little ones here with us, and also older, and in between, all the ones in between there. I was in a conversation with a young man at work this past week, and he's a very vivacious, has a very vivacious, outgoing personality. In fact, every month we have a character trait that the employees vote on, and this past month was enthusiasm, and he got that, and without doubt. I was talking to Neil the other day, and just chit-chatting, and I asked him about his, you know, we sort of got into his personal life kind of thing. I asked, "Do you read books?" "Well, a little bit." I said, "Well, what kind of books do you read?" "Well, you know, different kinds of things." He mentioned a couple. I said, "Do you read scripture?" "Probably not as much as I should." I said, "I want to challenge you with something." I said, "A man years ago challenged me to read one proverb every day and do it for 3 years." "Really?" Well, he got these big eyes. "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You try it. And I tell you, if you do that every day for 3 years, it will change your life." And that's where we left it. And he thanked me, and that's where we left it. A proverb is a simple, concrete, traditional saying that expresses a perceived truth based on common sense or experience. There's all kinds of proverbs around us. There's an old Scottish proverb that says, "Remember, if you are not very kind, you are not very spiritual." There's a Japanese proverb that says, "One kind word can warm 3 winter months." Forget Florida. There's an old Indian proverb that says, "It's easy to forget kindness, but one remembers unkindness." There's an Islamic proverb that says, "A kind speech and forgiveness is better than alms followed by injury." There is a Tamil proverb that says, "Kind words conquer." There's a Hebrew proverb that says, "The kind man feeds his cat before sitting down to dinner." That'd be a stretch. What about a dog? Let's put dog in there. Sorry, cat lovers. There's a Greek proverb that says, "Kindness begets kindness." There's a German proverb that says, "Kindness breaks no bones." There's a traditional proverb that says, "Kind words are worth much and they cost little." And finally, there's a proverb from Solomon that says, "A man who is kind benefits himself." Well, I'm sure by now you realize and are well aware that the focus of this message is centered on being kind to one another. And I'm intrigued by how many different ethnic groups have historical proverbs that in their culture that relates to the virtue of kindness. And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list. There were more that I could have posted up here on the PowerPoint from other ethnic groups. One of the more humorous ones that I came across is a Saudi Arabia proverb that says, a kind word can attract even the snake from his nest. And I don't know for certain, but I'm guessing what that proverb means is that even a person who acts like a snake will respond favorably toward kind words. Now, that concept is very powerful, but I do have to admit that the proverb itself is somewhat flawed. Actually, it's an oxymoron, because to call someone a, quote, snake is not very kind. So I opted to not post that one. Yet from all the number of kind proverbs that I came across and that we see and that I posted on the PowerPoint from so many different cultures, I take from that it is a universal virtue that transcends cultures, race, and ethnicity. If you notice, most of the proverbs that I quoted or I listed are coming from non-Christian cultures. Isn't that something? I find that very intriguing. Even though kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, evidently its virtue has a reciprocal force that is not limited to people of the Christian faith. In other words, you don't need to be a Christian to be a kind person or to be the recipient of kindness. Our text is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and it's probably a verse that all of us learned as a child, as a youngster. And it is simply the verse that says, "And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, the context of this passage is seated in a call not to grieve the Holy Spirit. If you look at chapter 4, the last part of chapter 4, it's a call not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's in that context that Paul addresses, he hits some very practical instructions. Or like someone said, he gets down to the nitty-gritty of the Christian faith. And when he's done giving the instructions that he does, you don't have to sit around long scratching your head wondering what he just said. I mean, he just puts it right out there. Let's go through them. First one, put away lying. Put away lying and speak truth to your neighbor. Don't sin. Number two, in your anger. In fact, don't go to sleep if you're angry. And I'm putting some of this in my own words. Number three, don't give any territory of your life to the devil. And these are the instructions that Paul is giving just prior to the text that we have today. Number four, don't steal, but rather work with your hands so that you have money to give to those who need it. Number five, don't let any corrupt communication or word come out of your mouth. Rather, let your words impart grace to those who hear you. Number six, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And then number seven, the seventh one that he gives, is put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. And by the way, that word clamor is confusion or a loud noise. Put that away, and also evil speaking. Put that away from you. And it is in this context that Paul then calls us to be kind to one another. So powerful is the virtue of kindness that the seven prohibitions can be replaced by one positive action. Obeying this one imperative to be kind to one another will guard your heart from violating any of the prohibitions that he just laid out before us. In mathematics, we find the LCD, or the least common denominator, by reducing fractions to the lowest term. And it's like Paul is reducing these don'ts, all this list of don'ts, into one positive action. In other words, we could say that if you do just this one thing, if you are just kind to one another, you won't lie to one another. You won't go to bed angry. You won't give place to the devil. You won't steal, and you will give. You won't swear, but your words will impart grace. And you won't grieve the Holy Spirit, nor will you harbor bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking. So this one instruction, this one imperative that we have, takes care of a lot of problems in our lives. Now, I'd like to go back for the remainder of our time. I'd like to go back and rehearse the 10 Proverbs that we had going through at the beginning and correlate a biblical principle to each one of those Proverbs, even though they come from a non-Christian culture. And I'm going to put some of these just in my own words. The first old Scottish proverb that I quoted is that if you are not very kind, you are not very spiritual. And the reason that this is true is because kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. And I want to read a couple of the verses. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And it says, excuse me, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, remember that the book of Galatians was first written for the self-righteous Mennonite. Well, no, I guess it was a self-righteous Jew. But it actually is really for anyone. It applies to anyone who is self-righteous, who is a self-righteous person, a person who places his value and depends on their self-righteousness to merit favor with God. And that's the whole thrust of the book of Galatians. And Paul takes a whole book to explain that our justification comes by faith and not by the law. He further argues in chapter 5 that because of the fact that we are justified by faith, there are going to be certain actions that will come out or stem out of that justification. And there's three things in particular that he mentions. He says that you're going to walk in the Spirit. He says you're going to be led by the Spirit. And you're going to be living in the Spirit. If you are justified by faith, these things will be part of who you are. And it is in this context that he then highlights the seven fruits of the Spirit. So let's break this down. When you observe someone responding in a rude manner, we can deduce that that person is not walking in the Spirit. He's not being led by the Spirit. He's not living in the Spirit. And this is why this proverb is true. Kindness on the opposite end is not rude. Kindness is the opposite of rudeness. Responding with kindness instead of rudeness is a mark of what truly makes a great person, a righteous person, one of the marks. And oh, by the way, I would just like to add that attitude matters. You may not be saying something rude to someone, and especially when you're right in front of them, but what are you mumbling to yourself? Recently, we were driving along, and we were walking in the Spirit. We were living in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, this guy or gal pulls out right in front of me. Now, that's okay if there's a lot of traffic, but I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was nothing behind me. Now, don't worry about it. I didn't lay on the horn, but glad sure found out what I thought about that person. And I'm ashamed to tell you, at that moment, I was not walking in the Spirit. Kindness, the second one, Kindness brings warmth, and that's the Japanese version. The actual proverb says, one kind word can warm 3 winter months. And remind me to speak a nice kind word to you next December. Now, while you can't find this proverb in Scripture, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. And there's a couple verses in there that correlate with this proverb. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 13 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Someone once said that familiarity can become an enemy of kindness. The man who thinks that he can be unkind to his wife and children because they know each other so well, yet treat others with kindness or kind actions, is nothing less than a phony, shallow veneer and a demonstration of hypocrisy. Many young men, particularly, I'm going to say young men, have become embittered by the actions and the responses of a father who lived one way at home and lived another way in public. If there's one word I could put to my father's faith, is consistency. I just saw Dad live out Christianity 7 days a week. Did he ever fail? Of course he did. But he was quick to respond in apology, with an apology. And fathers, if there's one thing I would impart to you today, is to live consistently. There is no hypocrisy in love. Show me one person who does not respond favorably toward kindness. This past week, I received a text from GLAAD, and that's not unusual. We most days correspond to each other at one point or another through a text. But that particular day, she was thanking me for something that I did 2 years ago. And I really had no idea that what I did meant as much to her as what it did. And that particular morning, she was having her quiet time. She felt impressed by God that she should thank me for what I did. Wow, My heart was warmed by her kind words, and her heart was warmed by my kind actions toward her. Kindness is reciprocal, and it brings warmth. Thirdly, kind deeds can be forgotten, but unkindness lingers. This is from an Indian proverb. I recall many years ago, a mentor of mine telling me, James, people will forget what you say and do, but finish it for me. They never will forget how you made them feel. And by the way, could I suggest that this goes both positive and negative ways? They won't forget the positive things, and they won't forget the negative things. Kindness shows love in little things. It gives a helping hand in time of crises. It has respect for the feeling and the personhood of the other people. It is thoughtfulness put into action. It offers the kind of spirit that builds unity and brings gentleness to potentially explosive situations. Kindness brings blessings and goodwill to the place where bitterness and grudges flourish. I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you want to turn to that, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4. That says, love suffers long and is what? Kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, and on and on. And oh, by the way, can I remind you that you might be able to fake nice, but you cannot fake kindness because it infiltrates your whole being, everything that you are. The fourth proverb is that kindness and forgiveness goes further than appeasement. This is an Islamic proverb. And I was actually quite amazed to find this Islamic, that this is a proverb from an Arabic culture, because it seems like oftentimes and I'm not sure if it's any worse than it is in any other culture, but there does seem oftentimes to hold grudges. In Proverbs 18, verse 19, it says that a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. We have a hard time putting proper context to this verse because we know very little about a walled city. We have not experienced that. Almost exactly 10 years ago, and it's close to the day, not quite possible, but it's very close to the day, Glad and I, along with numerous other ones from this congregation, took a tour in Europe. And one of the places that we stopped was in Rotenburg, Germany. Now, Rotenburg is a quaint town featuring a medieval 12th century walled city. And it includes a cobblestone streets. And one of the things that we did in the evening was meeting in the city square, right in the center of town. And we came to observe the night watchman who came out to shut the gates of the city. You guys that were there, remember this guy? Where are you? Glenn? Yeah, I was surprised when I brought up that photo again. I was like, wow, I remember his face. And that is actually the guy that we watched. So we went with him on the tour to close the city gate. And we have no idea how important walls were to cities of the day. They were built to keep the enemy out and to keep the enemy from coming in. And even as recent as World War II, he took us to the backside of the city and he pointed across the fields, on a ridge across the fields, and he said that the American troops were lined up along that ridge, but the Germans were able to hold them off because of this city that was walled. The text that I use says that it's easier to break through a city wall than to win over an offended brother. You know, I just want to point out there are actually two passages in Scripture that correlate kindness with forgiveness. And the text that we use today in Ephesians is one of them. And I'm not going to necessarily focus on that because that'll come in a later message. But the proverb reminds us that it's better to be kind and to be forgiving right away than to try to restore relationships with a gift. There's a fifth proverb that we want to look at, and that is that words conquer. The best example that I can give you is of Jesus Christ himself. Take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 3. And I really want to read these verses because it's so powerful. Titus chapter 3. And starting to read in verse 3 through verse 6. Listen to these words. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, if we just stop there, I mean, that's a bag of trouble right there. But that's who we were. But, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Wow, kindness breaks through the impenetrable darkness like nothing else can. How can it be that a person who is foolish and disobedient and deceived and serving various lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another, how can that person receive the light? And it is only through the kindness of Jesus Christ. When a person comes face to face with the kindness of God, with God's grace, as Jonathan talked about, it breaks through the barrier of shame and hopelessness and self-contempt that keeps many, many people in bondage. Number six. Even animals are the recipients of kindness. Proverbs 12, verse 10 says, a righteous man regards the life of his animals, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Several years ago, I was sitting on the back deck on a Sunday afternoon, just soaking in some summer sun. And our Amish neighbors across the field had church that day. And they had parked their buggies and tied up their horses just in the field right behind us. And so I was just, as I was sitting there, I was observing them. It was after church, and they started coming and hitching up their horses and leaving for home. And it was getting a little bit later in the afternoon, and a lot of them had already left. When this one fellow came out to hitch up his horse to the buggy. And I don't know what all happened. I don't know what all was going on because all of a sudden the commotion caught my attention. I wasn't looking at the time. But I looked up just in time to see the guy stand back off the side of his horse, and he gave that horse a kick in the side, in the rib, right in front of the back flank. And the closest sound that I can describe coming from that horse was a wail. And, of course, that only made the horse even act up more at the time. But they finally got it all figured out, and he eventually got a hook hitched up to the buggy, and they went for home. You know, I came to two conclusions that afternoon when I observed that incident. And the first one is just simply that going to church does not make anyone more spiritual if he is corrupt or she is corrupt on the inside. You can attend church and still be just as unkind and just as lost and just as unrighteous as the town drunk if you don't have Jesus Christ. And the second observation that I made, I have no idea who that man was, but I can tell you something about that person. It is very, very likely that he is also rude to his wife and to his children. Mark my word. That is not a judgmental statement. But how you treat your animals says something about your character. I was riding my bike the other night, and I came up behind a horse trainer. He had this little cart like they do, and I could tell the horse was messing up, and he was shying away from things, and I didn't quite know what to do because I was coming up behind him and at a fairly good speed, and I knew I had to pass him. And about the time that I was ready to pass him, he had really shied from one of the mailboxes, and then he caught sight of me, and he whipped around the other way, and it was sort of a commotion going on. And just as I passed him, I heard the man on the back say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa," and just very quiet, very calm, and he kept the guy under control. He had kept the horse under, not the guy, he kept the horse under control. The horse kept the guy under control. No, that was the other way around. The seventh proverb says that kindness begets kindness. And this is a Greek proverb. If you have your Bibles, turn back just a couple pages from our text in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7 reads like this: "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ." Kindness begets kindness. I'm struck by the phrase, "even when we were dead in trespasses." I can only be kind because of the kindness of Jesus Christ. There is nothing within us that can drum up this virtue. It must be birthed by the giver of kindness. Years ago, our family felt called to minister to other families. And we did so by offering one of our daughters, and we did this with several of our daughters, I think maybe all three, I don't recall for sure, but we offered one of our daughters to several mothers in the community who were knee-deep in mothering and household duties. And so we just offered that they would come one day a week and work for them. And so as I was talking to the one father one day and telling him what we'd like to do and that we're just offering our daughter to come one day a week, I mean, he got this perplexed look on his face and he says, James, what do you guys want from us? I said, nothing. We're just here to serve. We're just following the Lord. And he was a little perplexed about it, but ended up going and many expressed deep appreciation for those gestures. But the greatest compliment came years later when this same father did the same thing with his daughters. And they offered them to help other mothers who are busy and knee-deep in mothering. Kindness begets kindness. Number 8, kindness breaks no bones, and this is a German proverb. There is a difference between being kind and being nice. I mentioned that already. The Latin definition for nice literally means to be unaware or not knowing or ignorant. And the point is that nice actions has a lack of knowledge or awareness. Kindness, on the other hand, is aware yet chooses to be kind. Kindness is perfectly aware that it is capable of speaking harsh words or being rude, yet it chooses not to. The virtue of kindness is always aware that words matter. It is aware that how you say something and when you say something or refrain from it, or even that what you say matters. But even more than that, it goes deeper than that. Kindness is also aware that tone of voice matters. What you say could be the truth, but the voice in which you give it could crush the spirit. I'm always reminded of the verse that my grandmother said repeatedly. In fact, our family was just together recently, and we talked about it. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. Words matter. Words have an amazing ability to create death or life. You can make a person sick if you tell them often enough. Take the son who is told by his father that he is clumsy and dumb and that he can't do something or do it well. And it takes the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to break those curses. Kindness breaks no bones. Number 9. Kind words are worth much and cost little. This is a traditional proverb. And you've all heard the term random acts of kindness. And I'm certainly you've been the recipient of kind deeds done to you. And if we would take the time, I'm also confident, if we'd go up and down these rows of seats, and if we were to take the time to let each of you share, there's probably been times that you have been the initiator of kindness. But we don't do that, and for good reasons. Kindness loses its value when we bring the good deeds to light. That makes sense? It shifts from an express virtue to an obligation. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 6. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 6. Verses 1 through 4. Take heed that ye do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father. Therefore, when you do your charitable deeds, and by the way, I like this phrase, charitable deeds. Now, in the King James, I think it uses the word alms, and we use this passage when we refer to it as the alms passage, but I like the phrase charitable deeds because it goes beyond alms. Verse 2, therefore, when you do your charitable deeds, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now take your choice. Take your pick. You want people to reward you? Or you want God? By the way, when people reward you, it's usually just between you two, oftentimes. When God rewards you, where's it going to happen? What does it say? Openly. Openly. It's not hid. Kind deeds will be returned someday if we don't demand it now. The last one is actually found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17. A man who is kind benefits himself. And that's literally the translation in the ESV. A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. Are you aware that there's actually scientific proof that being the recipient of or being the initiator of kindness actually produces health benefits? Are you aware of that? It is a proven fact that acts of kindness produces oxytocin in your body, occasionally known or referred to as the love hormone. Releasing oxytocin in your body aids in, here are the things that it helps you in, lowering blood pressure and improving your overall health rate or health or heart condition, sorry, the overall heart health, if I say it correctly. And it also increases our optimism, which is helpful when we are anxious or shy in social situations. Several months ago now, when Glad and I were in Florida, just chilling and just sort of relaxing and just soaking up some good summer or warm Florida sun, we observed two incidences where we both just looked at each other and our mouths just sort of dropped open. One was that we were walking across the parking lot at a restaurant, and these two vehicles come in through, and the first vehicle stops, and the guy jumps out. Now, he's an old grandpa, an old duffer of some kind, gets out of the car, turns around, and walks back to the car behind him, and the car takes off, and starts yelling at the car behind him about tailgating and just going off. Of course, the car just took off, and there he stood, and I just stopped and looked at him, and he looked at me, and I think he was a little bit embarrassed. He should have been. I couldn't believe it. I mean, just like, we just scratched our head, and we said, at retirement age, and he's going off about somebody tailgating him. And the second one was that we were at another restaurant, and this one we were just out in the open, and just really enjoying the dinner together. And there was two couples literally just catty-cornered from us, a table or two over from us. And somehow when they got their bill, we're still trying to figure it out. The best we can figure out is that the couples sat opposite from each other. And so I think what happened is that the waiter assumed that the couples, you know, beside each other were together and made the bill out that way. And the guy, I mean, he just went livid. I mean, literally. I thought literally he's going to slug the guy. He stood up and he started yelling. and carrying on. And finally he demanded for the manager to come, and the waiter just handled it very professionally. And I mean, he created such a ruckus. Like, I would have been so, I was embarrassed for him. And the poor guy didn't even have a clue. And an old, they were retired, old people. I would say probably 80 years old. And going off about a bill that wasn't right. I just don't get it. I don't get it. If you want to be kind when you're old, young men and young ladies, it starts now. It starts now. Starts with how you treat your siblings, your little brothers that are a little bit of an irritation to you, or sisters. That's who it starts with. Kind old people are kind old people because they were kind people when they were young. Let's pray, and Keith, I'll let you close. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. And I thank you for the instruction that you have given us.